Sunday morning, 4/23/23. I thought, wow, what a day, 23/23. We're going to talk about Spiritual Mapping 101 today. A few weeks ago, the Lord spoke to me about teaching spiritual mapping. I'm fixing to go on television. I'm going to start this part, which it's delayed. You know, it'll be some months, but, and he knows the timing of it. And the way the Lord brought it to me, I think it's slowly but surely he's defining it, because it's like we've been all over the place. So we need to be very defined in what we do and following the Lord. And really, it's a simple concept. It's a biblical concept. It's not a new concept that we're trying to learn. It's something that maybe we've never seen in the scriptures before, but when we begin to study it, we realize, yeah, it's in there. So I'm just, with this, I'm trying to simplify it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, well, okay. First of all, we're going to look at scriptures that talk about petitions. Okay? Psalms 143 will be the first one. All right, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. You know, when you look around you and you see things come out, it's grievous. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. Isn't that the goal? Yeah. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. So this is the objective in our mapping, changing. We want a better world. We want a world that God's in control. God's at the head of. Okay. All right. There's quite a few scriptures here. 1 Samuel will be the next one. Chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 17 first. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Also 27 in that same chapter. She says, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I ask of him. Isn't that what we're doing? All right, 1 Kings 8, chapter 45. Then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. I'm echoing. All right, Daniel chapter 6. I tried to get these in order, but they're kind of out of order. Daniel 6, 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. This is when Daniel, they were told they couldn't pray to any other God, but the God of the Medes, I think, is what it was. And he did anyway. Okay, Daniel interceded for his people. All right, Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. You know, we see this a lot in the Old Testament, and I think in the New Testament it's kind of gotten past a lot of people. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, to them that keep his commandments. Then he goes on to remit sins. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces as at this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries, whether thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. So he's repenting for his people. They're in exile. I'm thinking, yeah, I think so. Verse 17, now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. All right, verse 23 also of that chapter. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. So God's coming, he's going to start talking to him about Messiah, about the 70 weeks and all that kind of stuff. We're not going to go on that today. Okay, with that, let's go to Jeremiah. You have to go back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 7. Verse 16. Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make an intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Wow, they were so far gone, he told him, don't bother. Pretty bad. All right, Jeremiah 11, 14. Jeremiah was also one of those prophets that was in the middle of the exile. All right, verse 14. Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. I think he was actually later killed. He saw a lot of tragedy. All right, Jeremiah 36. Verse 7. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return everyone from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. He said, well, I'm going to give it a whirl. All right, 42. Jeremiah 42, 2. and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, Let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us. Feel like the remnant today? Absolutely. Okay, let's turn to the book of Esther. We're going to go back to the book of Esther. 5. Verse 7. This is chapter 5, sorry. Let's start with, do 6 and 7. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, What is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee, and what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed. Then answered Esther and said, My petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, If it please the king to grant my petition to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do it tomorrow as the king has said. All right. Now let's go to the book of Psalms. We're going to start with Psalms 20, verse 5. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the time of our God we will set up our banners, and the Lord fulfill all thy petitions. You know, they set their banners up when they were gathering into tribes and they were going to follow the leader. They each had a banner. Go watch the Ten Commandments. You even see that in there. Okay. All right, now Psalms 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I like that one. Psalms 102:17, which will be the last Old Testament one. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Who's the destitute? Those in need. All right, we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6. To me, this is the prayer of all prayers. It's a warfare prayer. All right, it says, well, we'll read it. Ephesians 6, 18 and 19. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Okay, now go to 1 Timothy 2:1. Now remember all these scriptures I'm reading as we get into this teaching. 1 Timothy 2:1. I believe if Christians would just do this alone, it would make an impact. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Think about that. If we actually did that, if every Christian actually obeyed the Lord and did this, what an impact it would make. Okay. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Is there a problem? Hebrews 7. For this Melchizedek, verse 1, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. What does a priest do? Intercedes. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. Without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them, of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also receiveth tithes, paid tithes on Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, and of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood, that was Levi in the old covenant. And is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek there arises another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandments going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord sware and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. See, we got a priest, high priest, that's interceding for us. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, and undefiled, separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. So Jesus is our high priest. He ever lives to make intercession for us. In fact, Danny had a word recently that the Lord said, you thought you were alone, but I prayed for you. That's what he told Peter. Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fail not. All right, let's keep going here. 1 John 5. It says, says he's ever ready. 1 John 5:15. And we know that he hears us, whatever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. The Lord wants us to petition him. There's something about God, since he's given the earth to man, if we want something done on the earth, we're going to have to ask him. Until the earth lease runs out, he's a respectful, renter, or what do you call the one that's
landlord.
And he's not going to come break through and do things. That's what people don't understand. They think, why don't God do something? How can he let it be this way? How can he let all them do all these things with these babies? And he just doesn't do anything. Because he's asked us to petition him. That kind of puts it in our lap, doesn't it? All right, we read Psalms 25, didn't we? Let me read it again. I've read my list of those, so we're going to look at a few scriptures now. A little closer. This is 25. Let me read it again. We will rejoice in thy salvation. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord will fulfill all thy petitions. In the Strong's, it just means a request. In 1 John 5:15, we just read, it means a thing asked or an asking. All right. Jerry Savelle, in his book on the prayer petition, he says that the prayer petition is to be based on the known will of God or his word. Not outside of it. Okay? Here's what Webster's Dictionary has to say about petition. An earnest request or an entreaty. A formal written request. Something asked or requested. Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary says it's a formal prayer of supplication, like Ephesians 6:18, the warfare stance in prayer that we read. Prayer there in Ephesians 6:18 is worship, and supplication is petition. Now, we read supplication in many of these scriptures I just read to you, supplication. Here's the rest of what Noah Webster had to say, the explanation. In a general sense, a request, a supplication or prayer, but chiefly and appropriately a solemn or formal supplication. A prayer addressed by a person to the Supreme Being for something needed or desired. A formal request or supplication, verbal or written, particularly a written supplication. The paper containing a supplication or solicitation. To make a request to, make supplication to a superior for some favor or right. You have not, because you ask not. To sum it all up, it is a formal request or supplication, and this really sums up Ephesians 6:18, when Paul encourages to pray with all prayer and a supplication. Huh? Why is worship to be first? God should be leading this prayer and supplication. He must be involved. We hear from God and he gives us direction. Isn't that what the spiritual mapping is all about? It isn't just about going on our own thinking, well, we need that's bad over there. We ought need to take that out. No, we have a jurisdiction and we need to stay within our jurisdiction. Okay, I'll talk more on that later. The Ephesian prayer is a stand, a standing in the gap for family, state, nation, world, you name it. That's what it's for. These petitions are to be led by the strategic instructions of the general of all generals, the Lord himself. See, he knows everything. He's been made unto us wisdom. And so when we want to know how to take care of something, or he's told us to speak over a certain thing, I feel like Mike Murdoch here. Hear the command, but wait for the plan. Don't just go off and what you think, because that ain't going to cut it. We got to know what the Lord knows, because he knows everything. He knows all the little ins and outs of things. Huh? God has designed his apostles to be his generals for instruction to the body of Christ in this area. That's why I'm going to start teaching this on television. See if they will hear what the Spirit is saying into the churches. Okay, I want to go to Exodus 14. It's really important that we follow the Lord, not follow what we think sounds good, or it may be good, but is it God? So I've been such a stickler about stick with those petitions. Let the Holy Spirit lead you, because I know sometimes I'll sit down and I'll start reading and he'll lead me away to speak. Not all the time, not every time, but sometimes. Sometimes I miss it. Sometimes I'm trying to get through it so fast, I kind of, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I missed that. I need to go back. This is, you know, we need his help. If we could have fixed it, it'd be fixed, right? All right. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hathoroth between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Shephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. Now, who said this? The Lord said to Moses, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, and the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, and the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. In the movie, Cecil DeMille's movie, oh, Yul Brynner says, their gods is a poor general because he had led them this way. They were like sitting ducks. Pharaoh couldn't stand it. Oh, they're just sitting ducks. Well, the Lord did it on purpose. That's why we have to follow the Lord, whether or not it makes sense to us or not. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and all his servants were turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. He took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. So his whole army. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea beside Pi-Hathoroth before Baal Shephon. See, to the people, that's why they started complaining. They didn't know the plan. They didn't hear God speak to Moses what to do. Maybe Moses was even going, are you sure, Lord? We'll be sitting ducks. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, and the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they cried unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? How soon they forget what God did for them. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. This is one of the biggest problems in the body of Christ. They cry out for someone. Help us, Lord, help us. Send us someone. Then he sends someone and they do this to him. Try to run him out of town on a rail. That's going to stop. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and he shall hold your peace. But shut up that negative talk. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore carest thou unto me? Speak it to the children of Israel that they go forward. Shut up and march. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. I'm going to tell this story again. When I had to go to that federal court over there, for the weeks ahead, I just said, Lord, is there any way I can get out of this? I just did not want to go. I said, oh, I just detest this stuff. Finally, I had to suck it up and go and sit in there and not get picked. And when I come out, sit in the car, now I'm going to tell you the reason that I told you to do it. And then he started talking to me about the federal court, about making the petition about that court, us taking that court for the kingdom of God. We just fuss and fuss about things we don't want to do, and God's got a plan. It may not fit what we think it ought to be, but he's got a plan. First thing I think, I don't want to go there. I hate going to jury duty. I was astounded when I got back in the car and he said that. I'm going, well, that would have been helpful a few weeks ago. Well, if you hadn't started griping, I probably would have told you. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all night, made the sea dry land, and the rivers were divided. The children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. It came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked at the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians. He's right there. He's looking. He's looking. He's overseeing every single thing. He didn't leave them by themselves. And took off their chariot wheels that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Well, you dummies, you shouldn't have ever left Egypt. All the stuff that the Lord did in Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come up again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to their strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh. They came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. Have you seen the documentary that shows all the wheels still down under the sea? And you can tell they're chariots. They sunk like a rock. Metal sunk like a rock. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Then they began to sing and rejoice. Where was that rejoicing before that? Like Jehoshaphat. They rejoiced before they went in to battle, and they won the battle. The Lord set ambushments against the enemy. See how God, the general of all generals, has it mapped out and passed that information to Moses, his general over his people? The instruction did not make sense to Pharaoh, but God knew what he was doing. We must have God's mind to be successful in our trek out of Egypt. Isn't that what's happening to us too? Pretty well. Through prophecy, God has revealed to us that he is raising up teams all over the nation and the world for this historical and biblical event. Nothing's by happenstance. I don't care who you listen to and what they say. Don't ever think for a minute that God is not looking through that cloud or whatever, and he has seen everything that's going on, and he's taking care of his children. They're just men. They have part. They don't have it all. When we began to observe in 2015 the direction that our nation was going, we began to speak petitions. And you know what? I didn't bring the petition up here. Let's pause it. I want to go get the petition. The first basic petition All right. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace on the 6th of July, 2015, about 6:30 p.m., to petition you for our country, the United States for America, and for our leaders. This is when Obama was still in office. We give thanks to you for our freedoms and prosperity and for our leaders. We are a very blessed nation. You said in your word, 1 Timothy 2, 1-5, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Father, you're the God of all authority. As your word says in Psalm 75, 6 and 7, for promotion comes neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south. But God is the judge. He puts down one, he sets up another. You are the righteous judge of all men. Father, your word also says in Proverbs 21, 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turns it whithersoever he will. Father, we know your will is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Your word is truth. You said in 1 John 5:14 and 15, we ask anything according to your will, you hear us. So we know our petition is in agreement with your will because you told us to pray first of all for our leaders. We ask that light and the knowledge of the truth be given to the leaders of our nation. We ask that you turn their hearts to you and we claim their salvation. We ask that our leaders, civil and spiritual, will embrace Christianity and promote the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We proclaim your gospel to go forth unhindered in this nation so that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. Jesus said in John 16, 23 and 24 that we are to pray to you, and what do we ask you in Jesus' name? You'd give it to us. Therefore, we declare this day that we believe you've heard and answered our prayer. We believe that Satan's evil plans of tragedy for America have been averted and stopped. We claim the spiritual awakening to God in America. Thank you, Father, for your great mercy and loving kindness to us and granting our petition signed, and we put our names and dated it again. All right. We made some for children and, you know, different things. All right. From there, it started to expand. I've added supplements, you know, all the updates that I've given y'all, to our basic petition as the Holy Spirit has prompted. As we speak the basic petition, the Holy Ghost begins to take hold with us and adds to and gives us more ground. This is the spiritual mapping. See, the basic petition, as I would read those, the Lord began to lead me and add. Just like with Moses, God knew the proper strategy to use so that the children of Israel would never be bothered by the Egyptians again. Isn't that the goal? I don't want any of our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren on down the line to ever have to deal with what we've had to deal with. As we continue, we will expand, take more ground. The Holy Spirit added the federal court in Midland County in the 17 counties of the Permian Basin over the last few years. Just think about how it's expanded. It's been slow. But think the Lord began to add more things for us to speak over. As every team does this, hopefully we will overlap each other and not let anything slip through. As we stay within our jurisdiction, like a sheriff. Perfect example. Yeah. The Lord told me apostles are spiritual sheriffs. They have their county that they reside over. That's their jurisdiction. And it don't matter who comes against that county. I don't care if it's a federal agent. He can tell him, you either get out of here, I'm going to put you in jail. And they have that jurisdiction to do so. All right, devil, you best go. Are you going to be messing with stuff you're hoping that you would have never messed with? All right. The Holy Spirit added, okay, as every team does this, it'll eventually overlap. There will no longer be pricks in our eyes and thorns in our sides. Today I was talking to our ex-pastor's wife that day. She said, every church ought to be doing that. Well, yeah, every church should be doing that. But are you going to get every church to do that? Well, that's why God's raising up apostles to start teach the church again, to get the pastors on in, you know, into the place where they bring that to their flocks. They learn it. Yeah? They're not just like this morning I said on the program. We're not just here to be spectators like at a ball game. We're to be participators in this end time event. Most people don't believe that, don't think that, have never even entered their consciousness. Apostles and prophets received the blueprints and grace to build a spiritual house. My point to all this is because I will start this next shoot May 8th and 9th to teach spiritual mapping on Faith Avenue Television to the churches that have ears to hear what the Spirit's saying into the churches. It's a beginning. I believe it's the beginning. All right. Ezekiel 22:30 says, and I sought for a man among them that would make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, which we know it's not God destroying it. We know the enemy destroys it. But he has to, if we don't ask, he's giving it to us. What does he do? What can I do? But I found none. Sorry to say, most Christians that I know, the only thing they're about is their own needs and desires and wants. And they show up to church just to get those fulfilled. And if you don't fulfill it, then they leave. All right. Like I said, it's got to change. A couple more scriptures. 2 Chronicles. If you look at the petitions, and you probably, you know, like mine, they're all written up and scribbled up because I've added stuff. And so I said, Lord, you have been expanding our land and our reach. It's gotten bigger. As we proved ourselves faithful in the basic, you just keep adding, keep adding, keep adding. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Wherein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. What's the problem? People's hearts aren't towards God. They're towards the government will do it. Donald Trump will do it. The doctor will do it. Whoever, the congressman will do it. They've all failed us. All of them have failed us. All of them, not all, but most are corrupt. He said he would show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. They that seek the Lord. Like Jehoshaphat, we read that. This is 2 Chronicles 20. Just a week or so ago on a Wednesday night, I think I did it, maybe, or maybe it was last Sunday. I think it was last Sunday I read about Jehoshaphat. So let that be homework this week. How are we going to build up a spiritual house? If you've noticed, most people, when they think about religions, it's all about a physical house, physical building, physical programs, and all of these kind of things. I'm not saying you don't have programs, but I'm just saying the Church of the Living God is a spiritual house. And whatever comes out of that, there will be physical things built, I'm sure. But That's not what the apostles' thing was, because that's what we were taught. That's what an apostle did. Well, they are missionaries. They go build churches in other places. That's all I ever heard. Now, that's not it. That's not even a drop in the bucket of what it is. It's building up a spiritual house. Okay, Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2:19. What did Jehoshaphat do when he was surrounded by enemies? It said he set his face to seek the Lord. Before they went to battle, he sent the praisers out. The Lord told him, send out the praisers. And when they did, what happened? They turned on each other, killed each other. And they were 3 days in gathering the loot. All right, 2:19. Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. And they're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God. How? In the flesh? No, through the Spirit. Ephesians 4:7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he laid captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And he goes on to talk about not walking henceforth like children. See, maturity, like Gentiles walk. Right here, work, Strong's, the work of the ministry. Toil as an effort or occupation is to mature the saints to do the work. Toil, effort, occupation. I didn't write it. No more begging, crying, hoping, and wishing, Christians, but warriors that work. Diligent. They're diligent at their post. Like I said, this is not a spectator sport. The generals of the Lord are here to teach the baby church to grow up and be a strong warrior. If they're willing and able, or willing and obedient, they'll eat the good of the land. Plain and simple. Nothing will ever happen the way it is. It just gets worse. It will continue to get worse till we no longer exist. That's their goal. If nothing changes, that's the goal. Yeah. The time is here, in my opinion, that the old guard is departing and the new guard is stepping up. And I don't mean that in a derogatory sense. I just mean they finished their course, they're going to their reward, and God is raising up a new bunch all across this land. I speak over Mike and C.K. Thompson, and y'all can add them to your petition. They are holding the fort down in Las Vegas, one of the largest witches' covens in the country is there. So God showed him about third heaven authority. So they're holding the line. And so for whatever reason, the Lord brought them up to me a couple of times, so I just added them to my petition, so I mentioned them. Also for Peggy Giba. She was a lady we went to church with a long time ago, and from what I understand, she's an intercessor. Lord brought her up to me. I said, Lord, we hold up the arms of Peggy. He brought up another couple, Larry and Robin Henry. I don't know if they're part of this, but I just put them on the list. When the Lord gives me names, I'm putting it on the list. Because we don't know who we're going to be associated with as this progresses further. Because there's teams all over the place doing what we're doing from what the Lord said to us. And at some point, we're going to be overlapping where there's nothing places the devils can get through, okay? Before we even knew it, years before, we had been spiritual mapping. We didn't know back in 2015 when we started doing this, or the petition, we didn't know what it was. And even before that, I can remember years before that, we were praying at home or doing something, and I made this list of stuff, and I remember Danny saying, Lord just said to me, now we're getting somewhere. His church, what do? They take care of, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then all these things should be added to you instead of everywhere you go, I need, would you pray for me? While you reading and praying at home? No, I don't have time. What's the matter with that picture? They're not obeying God. Are they in line to receive? They want God to just do it all, and they live like what they want. It's been the story of the church we've gone to, most all of them. But you know what? We can't really fault them, because if they're not being taught, most of them get to the place where when they hear this message, they do what they did to me when I first started teaching this message. Nah. We don't want that. I can't tell you the grief that it brings me, the people that have come through and gone out that are dead now because they didn't esteem what God was doing. Not the person. I'm talking what God was wanting to do, what God was doing. They beg and they cry just like the Israelites for God to do something. Please do something. And when he sends somebody, they try to crucify him just like they tried to do to Moses. It's so sad to me. I'm thinking, Lord, help us as the body of Christ to get out of this mentality that we have been in. It's so wrong. It's so misinterpreted in the scriptures too. This isn't about just take care of your little needs so you can go live your life. It is not about that. It's about laying on the floor and saying, God, I give you my life. That's what it's about. It's a sacrifice. And then he says, if you'll follow me, I'll take care of everything that ever comes into your way. I'll meet your needs. I'll take care of you. Don't fret about a thing. Just keep looking and focusing on what I've told you to do and all this. Isn't that what seeking the kingdom is about? So people don't get that because they've been religiously brainwashed. To me, it's as deadly as the other. That's why we're a laughingstock, because there's no power in that. None whatsoever. All right, let's see where I left off. Know how we can tell it's working? Can somebody give me an answer to that? How can we tell it's working? Has the fire gotten hotter? Think about it at the beginning. I'd say we're right over the target. And we're thinking, reading these petitions and doing what we're doing, are we really doing anything? Oh yeah, we are really doing something. We're doing exactly what the Lord's told us to do. See, this is spirit. Just a warning, don't do this independent of the Holy Spirit's leading. I would say that we are right over the target. Okay, we must have the body of Christ coming together and participating, no more spectating, but participating. That has to be stressed. I feel like anyone that would ever want to be a part of this, I have to sit down and give them a good little talk and say, this is not church, this is training. Are you willing? Could say, I guess I'm just a spiritual coach here. Because, you know, I know with our son's basketball team, they're pretty strict. You miss practices, you're out. You do this, you're out. All these kind of things. Well, it's kind of the same way the concept of this. This is going to be hard on you. And there's times you're going to think you're dying. So you just might as well gear up. And you just might as well settle it. This is God's way. If you're going to do anything for the kingdom of God, you will have to go through this first. I mean, at least there's a few of us to be able to tell. Give them a reality check. I remember Vicki Dieter, she said, I'm not so sure this is a church. She said, I think it's a training center. She was right on the mark. Hey, Vicki, you were right. All right. Jesus gave us the keys of the kingdom, Matthew 16. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. If you'll get the microphone back behind you, Danny, I'd like you to share your dream. Your dream about the keys.
Before I give the details of the dream, I have to go back and give some instructions the Lord gave to me some weeks ago. He's had me study in the name of Jesus and the authority of the believer for several years now. So two of the scriptures or passages I read regularly is the ones you just read, Matthew 16 and Philippians 2, about the name of Jesus. And he spoke to me, a number of things he's spoken. He said, you hold the keys of authority over all things. Use them for me. Keys represent authority, and my name is your key. Okay, so he spoke to me then, and he said, I've entrusted you with my keys. You have to use the right key for each lock. The Holy Ghost has to show you that. Okay, so I started praying and asking God to show me the keys and the locks. And I shared with y'all a couple weeks ago, there are numerous locks, like the front door of our house. If you want to lock it shut, you have to have the right key. We have a key for that front door. We have a key for the garage door. It won't work on the front door. It takes a certain key to lock it. There are other doors that are, there are some doors that are open in this nation that need to be shut and locked. There are some doors that are shut and locked that need to be unlocked. So he has to show you the right key. That's what I needed to tell you. So I asked the Lord to start showing me where the locks are and what keys to use. So two nights ago, right before I woke up, I had a dream. I was in the middle of I was in a big room somewhere, surrounded by people that were homosexuals and lesbians and transgenders. They were all around me. And it was not a pleasant atmosphere. And I realized what I became aware of is how accepted this kind of thinking has become in our society and our nation. A lot of people, it's on TV, I mean, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
The acceptance of it's all right to be this way, and it ain't. When I woke up, I immediately knew exactly what the Lord was telling me. What happened in May of, was it 2015, when the Supreme Court voted?
It was June or July.
When the Supreme Court voted in 2015 to make same-sex marriage illegal, not illegal, legal, that opened the door to what I was experiencing in that big room. It opened the mindset that it's okay to be this way. You didn't ever hear anybody about people having sex changes and stuff like that before. Now it's almost everywhere. And that law opened the door of the filth that is in this nation. And the Lord showed me, that's the first lock you need to shut. I said, okay, Lord. And I'd been picking up in my spirit that was the first one that needed to be shut. And so I'm waiting right now, praying in the spirit. The Lord told me when he gives me something, pray in the spirit till you know what to do. But anyway, so I'm taking a little long here, but I asked the Lord to show me. I said, okay, Lord, show me the key to use on this lock. Show me what I have to, what needs to be done to shut that door, to shut Pandora's box, and lock it up forever. And I would appreciate any united prayer with me for the Lord to show us, because this is not a single person thing, right?
No, we're a team.
I'm satisfied, not just us three, but I'm satisfied that if the Lord's showing me this, he's probably showing it to people all over the United States to do the same thing he's instructing me to do. But that's where I'm at right now, waiting for the Lord to show me. And in my Bible study, I need to add this. Yesterday morning, I got up, and every morning before I study, I ask the Holy Spirit to take hold with me and lead me like a bird dog getting a scent. And he leads me in my Bible study. The whole time I was studying, and I started in Matthew 16, what you just read. Keys are the name of Jesus. They represent authority. They lock and unlock. They loose and restrain. They forbid and they permit. It's up to us what we do with those keys. The keys are used by word. if you bind something, you spoke words in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is the key. But using the key means you just spoke words. I'm satisfied those are the keys the Lord is telling me to you. The right key for the right lock is the words to speak in the name of Jesus that severs strongholds, binds ley lines, brings down satanic high places, and breaks a power of darkness off of a nation. That's where I'm at. I've come to the place to realize, even though we have the name of Jesus and it works all the time, it'll always work every time you use it. The more strategic we must become strategic in our words, because they are the containers of the power. And as he told me, my name gives you the say and the total control over every situation you face. The name of Jesus works by words.
Okay. Let me add just a little something to that. Whenever Peter right here says, Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. The revelation gives you the words to speak, just like Jesus cursed the fig tree. He didn't just do that as a happenstance. No one eat fruit from you ever again. And dried up. It's those words that come from heaven. Those are those words of authority. Right. It's not just speaking, I rebuke you, I bind you, I this and that, unless it's under this. Right. Inspired by God. That's what's going to do that. Right. Well, see, that's when we started the petition. This is right after Obama bamboozled or whatever to sneak that in without anybody knowing. And that's when the transgender, everything is like, I told him, I said, Pandora's box was open. It's like in Revelation where these things come up out of the pit. Hell was loosed on our nation. So, all right. Thank you for sharing that. All right here. Let me pick up where I was. Okay. Daniel stood in the gap over the guardian spirit of the geopolitical sphere in Daniel chapter 10. We're going to have a look at that. We've read this a few times, but Daniel was in exile his whole life. He was like 15 years old when he was taken into captivity. They made him a eunuch. He never had any children, probably never married. So that's what he spent his time doing, is interceding for his nation. And God showed him a lot of stuff. This is Daniel 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. The thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Adekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face was as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like a color to polished brass. And the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And Daniel alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my calmness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words. When I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. He said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. So the angels acted immediately on his petition, but they encountered some pretty hairy demons. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Israel. Michael is supposed to be the archangel over Israel, which the church, those that are born again, that's Israel. Now I'm come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. That's why we don't give up on these petitions. We continue to speak, and we'll continue to speak. Now when they're fulfilled, we write them down. Yesterday I saw where Governor Abbott, they implemented putting the Ten Commandments back in the classrooms or in the schools. You know, things are happening. It may seem like a little victory, but man, any victory at all is great as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. I see the same spirit working today in our nation that Daniel saw working in his nation. This is Revelation chapter 17. This is just the first six verses here. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. See, he was in Babylon. Babylon. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Isn't that what it seemed like happened in 2015? In the big push with the tranny thing? And then the drag queen story hours. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. The Lord says right now to you, the evil has always been here. It didn't just suddenly appear. It wasn't as if a box were opened. The thing is, I am separating the tares from the wheat. The tares are now on right up there on top of the wheat where they can be picked off. They've been hidden in secret. It's been going on in secret for a long time. You just didn't know it. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Same spirit. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Same old spirit that Daniel was interceding about. The Nazi world order. It's not the new world order. Never has been. It's the Nazi world order. Satan desires the whole world to worship him. The Lord said to me several years ago that the beast system rose up out of Germany. Already told you about that. It's been working for thousands of years. We're currently in the Fourth Reich right now. This is Revelation chapter 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw like unto a leopard, and his feet were as of his, well, I just want to stop there. The beast which I saw that was like a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear. His mouth is the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave his power and his seat and great authority. The leopard has in the, I think, well, I guess in Daniel, the leopard has four heads. Fourth Reich. Heads represent authority or powers. So we're on World War III was the third. According to 107, he says World War III. World War II was the second. And whenever they overthrew the Soviet Union, that was World War III, he says. So this actually is the fourth. But they call World War II the Third Reich. So according to Scripture, this is the Fourth Reich. This is what we're in right now. All right? Matthew 4:9. Look at that right quick. This is when Jesus was tempted of the devil. And he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. This is where our warfare prayer through prayer and petition comes in. The Holy Spirit said to me as I was typing that the supplements are more detailed on the situation for you to pray and speak more accurately. Did y'all get that? The Holy Spirit said to me as I was typing that the supplements are for more detail on the situation for you to pray and speak more accurately. In other words, you get the bigger picture. The more the Lord adds, the bigger the picture becomes. And to me, the beginning of this, for anybody, if anybody wants to start doing anything, let them pray 2 Timothy 2:1 through 8 about pray for all in authority. To me, that's just the beginning. This is a very good place to start for anyone in obeying God if they want to, you know, if they want to help. We're told to do it. It's kind of like the Lord's Prayer. We're told to pray the Lord's Prayer. We're told to pray this. Well, we'll just look at it. I'll show you. It says, and it says to do it first. If you can't even get them to crack their Bible, I mean, my gosh, you know what I'm saying? How are they going to do this? I'm going, Lord. All right, 2 Timothy 2:1 through 8. That's not 2 Timothy, it's 1 Timothy. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. All right. I've said this before, but it bears repeating. You begin to get involved in God's business, He will get involved in yours. A lot of people, they run around like Chicken Littles trying to get their needs met and stuff, and they give no time to God. They miss this totally because, you know, if they really knew the truth, they'd say, oh, okay. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Most are just trying to just make it, and their whole center of life is their whatever. I know just the prayer request I get. It's never about God or what's going on in the nation. It's about them personally. So I'm going to lie and make up a story to get you to pray for them. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just think, if every Christian did this, God's business would get done. We would have our land back, and Christians wouldn't have anything to pray about anymore because everything would be taken care of. God said, take care of my business. I'll take care of your business. Strategic spiritual warfare is like Mary told the people at the wedding. Whatever he says to you, do it. He's the man, and he has the plan. All right? Okay. I have just a little bit more here. We are intercessors. Those that have said yes and are standing in the gap have a certain reach. We currently have 17 counties in the Permian Basin. Until God expands that, we should stay within our jurisdiction. That is where we will be the most successful. If it goes beyond that, then more than likely it connects to the Permian, like the state capital in Austin connects directly to the federal court in Midland. Okay? We appreciate the White Hat Alliance, but they can't do it without us. It happens in the spirit realm first. That means that spiritual warriors are winning many battles in the spirit for the Alliance to be able to infiltrate further into our nation. What you see coming down in the natural is because of what the spiritual warriors have been doing. Even though we are unknown and unseen, God knows who we are, and he will reward us openly. Satan needs men to execute his evil plans, and God needs men to execute his good plans. C. Peter Wagner said this, history belongs to the intercessors. And I agree 100% with that. Yeah. Here's a couple biblical examples. Just a few more, and we're going to be done. Acts chapter 13. Wouldn't that be neat in your history to actually have the spiritual battle that took place and then the natural battle that took place? All right, this is 13, start with verse 6. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Paul and desired to hear the word of God. Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Devils in politics. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Gosh, when the power returns back to the church, well, it's here. It's here. We're fixing to see it. Okay, Acts 16. I know we've read this many times, but we're going to read it again. All right. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which showed us the way of salvation. Now, you just might as well get this. I'm not the only one. You just might as well get ready for it. When you start going in places, you may have some reactions. You might have some demon talk to you. Like I said, the first time it happened to me, man, scared the pee-wally-doo out of me. I've been around people that had demons, and they got as far away from me as they could. I'm telling you, it is not a good feeling. Just think, and we had to spend the night, two nights, with that going on. The last night I was there, we were on motorcycles. I maybe got 1 hour of sleep, and I had to ride home in leathers in 100-degree heat, and I had no sleep because of someone in the company. That's where I got to where I just don't go with anybody anymore. Can't do it. Won't do it. And this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved and turned, said to the Spirit, I command in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. These were territorial spirits. The ruling spirit over Ephesus was Diana. The Roman name is Artemis, the Greek name. Acts 19. Verse 27. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. All Asia. Is this the churches of Asia that John was sent to? And Jesus talked to him about every one of those churches and where Satan's seat was? There was only maybe one that didn't have some bad place that was overtaken by this. And when they had heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Is there any wonder Paul got this prayer in Ephesians? Revelation from God. The warfare prayer. And the whole city was filled with confusion, and having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. When Paul would have entered unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. It was a madhouse. The demons just exploded. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jew putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with his hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, Great is Diana of the Ephesians! And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, Ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana, and of the image which fell down from Jupiter? Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, ye ought to be quiet and to do nothing hastily or rashly. For ye have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches, nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open, and there are deputies. Let them impede one another. But if ye inquire anything concerning other matters, it should be determined in a lawful assembly. For we endanger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse. When he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. He's trying to defuse the situation. Talk about a mob. But a big mess. Just because they're goddess. Yeah. Well, all right, one more. Revelation 1. I just spoke to you about that, about John. Revelation 1, verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and the patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and Smyrna, unto Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis, and unto Philadelphia and Laodicea. So he got instructions from the Spirit. Jesus appeared to him himself, showed him the revelation. But gave him instructions to go back and start correcting the churches, getting them in order. But it's by the Spirit. It's not just, well, I'm going to go in there and clean house. No, the Holy Spirit, just like he told Moses what to do. That's the way God is going to lead us. All right.